Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Shocked, confused, concerned, and frustrated, those may be some of the reactions millions of Californians are having after opening their natural gas bills this winter. California's Public Utility Commission, CPUC, says natural gas prices in California and throughout the West have risen to alarming levels and are driving up prices for consumers. PG&E has 4.5 million gas customers in Northern California and Central California and said customers can expect a 32% increase in their bills through March. They and other utility companies throughout the state are blaming high demand, low supplies, and cold weather for the steep rise in energy bills. Governor Newsom has called for a federal investigation into the price increases, while some critics say California and its regulations are to blame. Regardless of the politics, the price hike is hitting Californians at a particularly difficult time, coupled with high inflation. So what is causing this sticker shock? Joining us is Severin Borenstein, a professor at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business and faculty director of its Energy Institute. Good morning, Professor Borenstein. Welcome back to Insight.
Happy to be back with you, Vicky.
All right, let's get right to it. What is going on? How do you want people to understand their gas bills this winter?
Yeah, so the price of natural gas starting in late November just skyrocketed on the West Coast, not in the rest of the country, just on the West Coast. And that indicates that there wasn't enough pipeline capacity to get the gas we needed from the rest of the country. And we knew there were going to be some problems. There's been a pipeline that carries a lot of gas from Texas to California that's been out of commission or now at low pressure for since 2021. And there have been a couple other pipeline maintenance issues. So we knew that was going to be a problem. California also has less storage, less gas in storage than we used to, partially because of the pretty well-known problem at Aliso Canyon, the storage facility in Southern California that had that massive leak in 2015, and some other storage facilities. And then we had cold weather, and cold weather drives up the price of natural gas, not just directly that we're burning more in our houses to stay warm, but also indirectly because it means we're using more electricity. And a lot of that electricity is still produced burning natural gas. So the combination meant that we went from having plenty of natural gas in October to suddenly being in really short supply and not able to bring more in the normal ways through those pipelines. And so the price just shot up, and it took a while to show up in our bills, because what the gas companies do, PG&E in our case, is they average it in over time. And so the first couple of weeks, we were still seeing an average with some lower prices. But by late December, those bills were just showing these astronomical prices for the natural gas.
So is that why? Because I thought typically utility companies, they purchase and store natural gas in the summer when prices are usually lower, and then they save those reserves for the winter when the wholesale price increases. When you're talking about Aliso Canyon, does that play a role into what happened and why they kind of came up short and ended up resulting in higher bills?
Well, that is part of why that we just didn't have enough gas out here on the West Coast. It's also part of why that we weren't buffered as much in terms of cost, because we weren't averaging in more of that stored gas. Most of the gas we're using in any month is still coming in that month. And so we still would have hit those high prices, but the combination really hit the bills hard. In fact, it hit the bills a lot harder in Southern California. PG&E actually had a bit more storage and more pipeline capacity they could get to than Southern California Gas Company, where they saw a tripling of the price of natural gas for their customers. So as bad as it is up here, there's a lot more pain down in Southern California.
Did the prices surprise you?
Yeah, we have seen these spikes. So just to give you an idea, typically the price of natural gas is about $5 per million BTU. It got up as high as $40 or $50 on a few days. That does happen occasionally when you get into a crunch, but it usually lasts a day or two, and then it settles back down. This lasted well into January. It has gone back down now, and we are starting to see some relief in the bills, though, again, because of the averaging, it's going to take a little while to get back down to normal levels. What happened is we saw a spike that didn't last a day or 3 days, but lasted almost 2 months. And that meant that the bills were, for some people, entirely showing that really expensive gas. And that just was a killer, particularly, of course, it occurred when people were using a lot of natural gas.
Yeah. And California, I believe, imports about 90% of its natural gas from other states in Canada. You were mentioning that large pipeline from Texas. Why is California over-reliant on importing natural gas?
Well, I wouldn't say we're over-reliant. Resources are where they are. And if we're going to use natural gas, we're going to have to get it from other places. California doesn't have a lot of natural gas. But we do have to be cognizant of the fact that we're using natural gas that we have to get from other places. So one piece of this is the pipelines. And there's some pretty bad history of that. If you go back to the California electricity crisis in 2000, 2001, that was a time when a pipeline exploded, actually the same pipeline from Texas, and we weren't getting as much gas. And then the pipeline company actually restricted the supply further in order to drive up prices. They ended up actually settling for $1.5 billion with California. So when the governor a couple of weeks ago called for an investigation, I completely supported that. We don't know if that happened again this time, but certainly given the history and given the potential problems, it really does behoove the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, they're the ones who regulate the pipelines, to look into that. But probably what we're going to find out is most of this was a shortage of natural gas caused by the pipelines and the storage and the cold weather combining and driving those prices through the roof. The only good news is they have come back down to normal levels, and we will start seeing that average into our bill. That's not terribly much comfort for the people who had to use a lot during the winter.
Yeah. It also has led to some people to blame the state's environmental regulations and a decline in in-state production of natural gas for these high prices. But is that a fair argument?
Well, I don't think a decline in in-state production of natural gas is really appropriate because we've never produced very much natural gas. I think the environmental regulations are always a balancing act. So, for instance, after Aliso Canyon leaked, we have been operating it still, but at a lower pressure level, so you can't store as much in there. And, the regulators have to balance, on the one hand, the risk of leaks, and on the other hand, the need to have more storage. I'm not an expert on the geology of underground storage, but it's possible that environmental regulators get a bit aggressive to make sure that we avoid the environmental problems. And if that's the case, we need to think about, well, what are we going to do when we have very high gas demand in the winter and we don't have enough in storage?
I want to get into some arguments that utility companies are using. I mean, PG&E claims that customers, they've used more natural gas than the 5-year historic average this winter. How much do you believe consumer demand is leading to the higher energy bills?
Oh, I think that's definitely part of it. We had cold weather and people were turning their heat on. And we had particularly unusually cold weather for late November, early December. And so that drained that storage more quickly. We do, I think, have a problem here in California, which is particularly in Southern California, but also PG&E. They don't do a lot of hedging in the financial sense. So when these prices go up, they historically have just passed them through to consumers. And that means that when the prices go down, consumers get the really low prices, and that's great. But when the prices skyrocket, they're really exposed. And for most things that are a big share of our bill, we try to have some insurance to protect us from that sort of volatility. California regulators really haven't set up strong incentives on the natural gas side for the utilities to help customers by hedging some of that risk, which is interesting because on the electricity side, they're much more hedged, partially because we get a lot of our electricity from other sources, about 60%, and partially because they actually sign contracts to buffer this volatility in the cost of electricity that's produced from natural gas. But on the natural gas side, the stuff that's coming directly into our house, we're much more exposed, And we have really seen that over the last couple months.
Yeah, PG&E also says they don't control market prices, and nor do they mark up the costs. Are utility companies hamstrung in their ability to control these prices?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. They don't control market prices. I think that they have been pretty meek about proposing more hedging and that would help the customers. I think that we can criticize them for. But I don't think you can say, you know, this is PG&E making money or ripping us off or anything of that sort. This is not a business they're in. They are buyers of natural gas on our behalf. I think there are better ways for them to be buying natural gas. Some people have sort of said this isn't really a problem we should spend a lot of time on because we're getting off of natural gas anyway. But we are not getting off of natural gas that quickly. And this spike really, I think, made clear that there are a lot of people, and particularly low-income people, who are very exposed still to these natural gas price spikes. So we really do have to make this a public policy priority.
Yeah. I mean, what is the CPUC, the California Public Utilities Commission's role in this? I mean, do they actually regulate retail prices?
Yes. So the CPUC actually sets retail prices and has a lot of influence over how the utilities engage in purchasing on our behalf. So, for instance, when PG&E makes decisions to buy more gas or store more gas or buy rights on the pipelines, which they have, those are things that the CPUC oversees. I think the CPUC could be more aggressive in getting these utilities to take those sorts of actions that they cost money. I mean, owning part of a pipeline or having storage costs money, but it really does protect consumers from these huge price spikes. And as much as consumers don't like high gas prices, I think the thing that really upsets them is particularly in the winter when they suddenly see these giant bills. And as we know from all sorts of consumer surveys, there are a lot of low-income households that just aren't ready for a shock of even a few hundred dollars to their budget. They just can't afford it. And so we see arrearages, people not being able to pay their bills, go way up when we see these shocks.
You mentioned that the governor has called upon the federal government to investigate market manipulation or potentially anti-competitive behavior are driving forces behind these high prices. Outside of California, how could the federal government step in or do more to address this issue?
Well, I think that the only thing the federal government can do is their role in pipeline regulation. So the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission regulates interstate pipelines, and that's what brings us the gas. And all they can do is make sure that those pipelines are doing everything possible to get product across the pipes. And in 2000, they didn't, and because they actually owned a gas distribution company, they had an incentive to actually restrict some of the gas. But I'm not sure if that's the case now, but I think an investigation is what they can do. You know, if we look at what happened in the rest of the U.S., the price went way up last summer when Ukraine was trying to really, Europe was really trying to fill its storage because of the war in Ukraine. But then it came down. And in fact, the price spike we just saw has nothing to do with Europe or the war in Ukraine or anything else east of us. It just has to do with getting enough gas into the West Coast.
This also follows. I mean, you want to talk about the summer. I mean, drivers paying extremely high gas prices at the pump, over $6 a gallon in the summer, which was also subject to another investigation that the governor is doing. But now gas prices, they've relatively come down to like $4.74 a gallon, according to AAA. But now there's a spike in gas to heat homes. Are these two related or is this just a coincidence?
I think it's primarily a coincidence. The problem in natural gas right now is really very much an isolated West Coast problem. The problem in gasoline earlier in the year was a world crude oil problem. And then later in the year, it was a California problem with our own refineries. But I think all of these are issues that this sort of volatility really hurts people. And then what you didn't mention is electricity prices are going up too. partially because they are partially tied to natural gas. But the bigger piece is that we are paying for all sorts of other costs, including climate change adaptation, through our electricity bills. And so those prices aren't as volatile, but they are steadily marching upward. We're paying for wildfires, we're paying for wildfire mitigation and for compensating people who are hurt by the wildfire. All of that is in our electricity price. And that's probably becoming the most unaffordable when you look at it over the whole year.
Finally, is there a bigger learning lesson to what we're going through right now to potentially avoid or prevent or mitigate these spikes from happening in the future?
Well, other than hedging, I think the other thing we need to really think about is how we use energy and making the most efficient use of it possible. I think that when we get these heating bill shocks, it's a good time for people to think about, are we insulating houses as much as possible? Are we really making the investments we need to make in order to reduce our usage? That doesn't mean going overboard and sealing everything hermetically, but it does mean avoiding the sort of leaks that people sometimes don't think about. You know, gasoline is so different from natural gas and electricity in that gasoline, we actually see it as we're standing at the pump. We see the price, whereas natural gas and electricity, we have very little idea of what's even using it in some cases or when we're using it. And being a better consumer on that front, I think, helps us to avoid the real shock of these cost shocks.
Professor Bornstein, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Severin Bornstein is a professor at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business and faculty director of its Energy Institute, explaining the rise in our natural gas bills this winter. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.